So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Mikkel Svener. Svener, I think. You'll correct me if I'm wrong, obviously. But first of all, who's the CEO and founder of one of the founders of Zendesk. But first of all, Mikkel, welcome back. It's been 2.5 years since we spoke when we met in London.
It has.
It's been a long time. Well, the time has flown by.
Yeah, we've been busy.
Well, you have been busy, but I'll tell you what, for people that haven't listened to that first interview, and I'll make sure there's a link in the write-up to so people can hear a bit of the history and the early steps, and then come back to the more recent one as well. But for the benefit of the people that are too lazy to go back to the first one, can you tell us a little bit about you and a bit about the work that you do?
Yeah, of course, love to. So first and foremost, I'm Danish, and I started Zendesk with my two co-founders, Alex and Morten, out of Copenhagen almost exactly 7 years ago. We bootstrapped it for a couple of years, and basically our vision was to provide an easier, more straightforward, beautifully simple customer service solution for a market that we felt was very underserved by the current vendors. We were very product focused and just wanted to build basically a beautiful product. We thought that the customer service industry could use a much better product and thereby create some, you know, new opportunities for real relationships with their customers. We bootstrapped the company out of Copenhagen for a couple of years, and then raised money in the U.S. and moved to San Francisco and California in 2009. Fast forward till today, and we have almost 50,000 customer accounts using Zendesk for providing great customer service. We're an organization with almost 800 employees. We are today a public company listed on the New York Stock Exchange.
Fantastic! It's been a fast forward journey from when we spoke before.
You've
recently published a book now, and I think this at this point people will say, "Wow, publish a book! That's all going to be about customer service." But no, you've published a book called Startup Land: How Three Guys Risked Everything to Turn an Idea into a Global Business. So it's actually not really about customer service, but it is. But it's actually about the journey that you've gone through and things. And I've had a look through the book, and I think it's great, and the sort of style of it's great. But can you tell me a little bit more about the book and how it came about and why you wrote it?
Yeah, so basically, as you say, the book kind of lays out our journey from that kitchen in Copenhagen to where we are today and being a public company and getting ready for our next journey. I think the inspiration for the book was me talking to other entrepreneurs about what it means to build a startup, and especially for somebody who's not native to Silicon Valley and the whole, you know, startup land. What does that actually mean?
Right.
When over the years when I've been talking to people, they found maybe not inspiration in, you know, what good pointers and ideas and, you know, all these things I could give them, but they found inspiration in the stories you could tell about our own journey. And I thought this could be inspirational for some people, everybody that is related with Silicon Valley, San Francisco, because it's an industry with very few insiders and a lot of outsiders.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I think also we also at a point in time as a company where it's important to kind of keep in touch with our roots and understand like what made us the kind of company we are today. So in that regard, I thought it was a good idea to write this book. But then I realized how much work it was.
Well, yeah.
But thank God I work with a co-author, Carly, out of New York, and she's just been fantastic in helping me put together this book.
I think it's also probably kind of, you know, if you think about the journey that you've been on for the last sort of 5, 6, 7 years, and some of the friends and family that you haven't seen much of, you could probably all just send them all a copy of the book and say, actually read the book. That's sort of going to fill in a few of the gaps of why I haven't been around for a few years.
Yeah, and then stop asking me questions.
Why don't you return my phone calls?
Yeah, no, but that's true. I think it recounts our story in a way that we probably haven't told anybody about before. So I think for probably a lot of the people who knows us too, that it would be a good insight into, you know, what actually happened over the last 5 years.
Absolutely, excellent. So, but in the book, you sort of chart the ups and downs of your journey and the lessons that you've learned and things. But as I was going through it, there was sort of one thing that really stuck out for me, that stood out for me, and it sort of comes up in the beginning, but it comes up throughout the book. And there's this idea of taking one thing that's considered boring and making it easy and beautiful, and how you've applied this to customer service help desks. Now, I think that that's a fascinating kind of point, because I think that many entrepreneurs and many aspiring entrepreneurs tend to look at things, and they look at things from a perspective of we need to create something that's new, as it were. And I think there's some real lessons for other entrepreneurs out there about your approach, because it's not just about creating something new, it's also about innovating on what's already out there. Would you agree?
Well, I think, I think that's true. I think also because, like, I think most good ideas have been taken already. You know, it's not like people can come up with something that is, you know, completely that nobody ever thought about before. But I think by having a vision for how you make it easy, accessible, inexpensive, and this concept of democratizing access to it and putting it in everybody's hands,
yeah.
I think it's I think that helps you rethink how you can take things to the next level and re-engineer existing processes and re-engineer how you do some things and get them out to a much wider market and thereby, you know, really in many ways disrupting kind of how these products and services were sold or acquired beforehand. So so I think that especially with our industry, customer service, it wasn't something that people really cared about just 5-10 years ago. It's very much a cost center for most organizations, and nobody really saw it as an opportunity to build long-term relationships with their customers. I think a lot of changed since then, and we were very lucky that we were positioned well for having a, you know, a sexy product that just gave a great experience at the right point in time.
Okay.
So boring that way definitely was very beautiful to us.
That's fantastic. I mean, the other thing I was thinking about was that many entrepreneurs, when they develop a new product, they find that one of the biggest challenges is actually gaining traction and getting people to use it and give feedback and then start to advocate and then actually turn themselves into, even if they're beta users, turn themselves into paying customers. I mean, particularly when you're in an industry where people are not really paying attention to it or not necessarily seeing any opportunity. I mean, how did you guys get started and get people engaged with the whole process? Because I think that's probably going to be a really good lesson for some entrepreneurs out there as well.
Yeah, but I think we were probably in a fortunate situation back then, where nowadays when new startups, you know, they have to prove themselves within the first year. Like, it's a very rough time for startups today. And we had kind of the luxury of being in an industry that nobody really thought highly about, and nobody thought that there was anything left to disrupt.
Right.
And we were flying a little bit under the radar. Nobody thought it was very sexy. So we, in many ways, we were lucky that we could take our time to kind of get traction and, you know, optimize the product for the market and then go big when we were ready for it. So in many ways, we were very lucky. But I do believe that most startups today, for them, what matters is really, like, they have to overinvest in the early relationship they get with their users and customers. They have to really figure out a way of engaging with them and create that fantastic experience that not only can turn them into a potential customer, but also can turn them into a promoter of their product. Because products today, they are primarily sold via word of mouth. And the platform for a great word of mouth is really that you provide a great experience. So I think we've been working with a ton of startups here in Silicon Valley, San Francisco, and companies like Airbnb and Dropbox and Uber and Groupon and these kind of companies have used Zendesk to scale their early user experience.
Right.
And I think for a new generation of companies, they think very tightly about kind of really providing an excellent user and customer experience early on, because they know that is the best way to get word of mouth and organic lead generation.
Okay, that's fantastic. Some good advice in the early stages. But I mean, fast forwards to the to recently, where now you've just had an IPO, and I think you've been valued at somewhere in the region of around $1 billion. Is that right?
Well, I don't look at the stock price every day.
Fine. Okay. Well, then let's leave it at that. But let's let's focus on kind of this. I mean, you've gone up to the gone through an IPO. I mean, has that changed the company? I mean, or does it put extra demands on the company? And but or what have you done to sort of preserve and maintain your integrity and core values, and you know keeping it real, as it were, keeping it fixed on your roots or focused on your roots?
Well, I think that going public has been a fantastic experience for the company. I think it was the natural next step for the company, and as we think about our future, we felt that it was very natural for us to become and be a public company. So I think it's been a great experience for us. It has matured the organization, has matured our processes in so many different ways. It really has been this trigger event for a lot of different things around our business.
Okay.
Of course, it also introduces some complexity being a public company, because like you have, there's a lot of compliance to different regulations, and there's a lot of things you have to think about, because now everybody can put their money in your company. So you really have to take that responsibility very seriously. But I think that's fine. You know, I think that just helps the organization think more maturely about how we do things. Of course, it can be a burden sometimes with some of the, you know, extra overhead, but then it's up to us to figure out how to do that in a beautifully simple way so we don't create unnecessary work. And for me personally, of course, like my cadence is a little bit different, you know, that we have the quarterly earnings calls and I have to manage some of the investor relationships and so on. But I think that's my job in any case always evolve.
Yeah. Okay. And so over the course, I mean, this has been a fantastic, almost like, well, I would say goes as far as being almost meteoric rise to in the last kind of few years. But I mean, what would you say, I mean, drawing on the book, what would you say are the biggest lessons that you've learned over the last few years? And if you had the chance to, say, turn back the clock, would you do anything differently?
No, I don't believe in like in going back and doing things differently. I think all the good decisions and the bad decisions made us the kind of company we are today. And I think that's probably a good description of how we think about ourselves as a company, that we allow ourselves to make mistakes and we allow ourselves to move forward and embrace the fact that we are just people.
Yeah.
And as people, we make mistakes, you know, and we can never be perfect. So, but what is important is how you learn from these mistakes you do and how you always try to make it right to your customers and make sure that you always think about your customers first and foremost. And because we are a company of such scale that we have today like almost 50,000 customers, and we have, you know, hundreds of millions of users have been using our service, we really think about the customer relationships as very central to how we think about ourselves and how we think about our future.
Okay.
So, as that part, I think we're very much looking at the future of how you build businesses where the platform is your customers.
Okay.
So we're incredibly inspired by that and think that's a huge opportunity for us. But as for building a startup, I think coming to the U.S., coming to startup land, as I call it in the book, it has been transformational for us. Like coming out of Denmark, working in a kitchen, and then coming here where you know, there's so high aspirations, where there's no ceiling, and then everybody thinks about building new things and starting all over, and it's been very inspirational for us, and we've been very lucky with a fantastic team that we built here and hired a fantastic group of people that has helped us take this company to new levels.
And so if you were to give some, say, like a handful of top tips, say top three tips to any current entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs that wanted to obviously go their own way, but sort of emulate some of the success that you guys that have been able to achieve, what would you be your top three tips, let's say?
I'm not very good at giving tips like that. I think that's also why we wrote the book, because I think more the journey in itself can be an inspiration. But I think that there's something around how you think about customers and how you think about your users. And never forget that behind every data metric that you're using for your business and so on, there are real people behind the numbers. And you have to figure out a way of building those relationships with those people in a scalable way that works for your organization. And that, I think, that is true as a platform for building your startup. It's not just a smart idea and some traction and some, you know, getting some customers and some users. It's ultimately about relating to the people that are using your product.
Mm. Okay. And so what's Zendesk's and your plans for 2000, well, not much left of 2014, but for 2015 and beyond? I mean, apart from world domination and making everything beautiful.
Well, I think that we don't talk about world domination, but we do believe tightly, or we do believe in democratization. And I think there's a whole, with the consumerization of IT, there's a whole democratization process around business software. And we feel really, really good to be a part of those companies that lead that transformation. So we're really optimistic about the future. And on the product side, we just launched something called Embeddables, which is basically an opportunity for our customers to embed customer service into their own products. So whether that be websites, web services, mobile apps or devices, that they can actually embed the customer experience into that experience and into that product or service. And we believe very much that that's the future of customer service. And we see a lot of companies, especially in gaming and so on, taking full advantage of that.
Fantastic. So, Mikkel, my final question that I always ask, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
I hope that people will feel inspired to go out and buy the book. Startup Land is available on Amazon and iBooks because it is a fun story, and I hope it can be a little inspirational. And I hope for anybody who's building a startup out there, think about your customer relationship. Think about Zendesk. We have a free program for startups, so they can use our product free of charge. And we hope we can inspire other companies with how we learn from our own customer experiences.
Mikkel, thank you for that. That's been great. I mean, I'll make sure this gets edited up and linked up and point people in the direction of the book. I, for one, really enjoyed it. I really like the style and how it's more of a story than anything else. And it feels a bit like a journal in many ways, which is really nice. But I just want to say congratulations on your success. I think it's much, much deserved. And I wish you all thanks for giving me spending some time to talk to me today. It's been a pleasure speaking to you again, and I just wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you so much, Adrian. It's really good speaking to you again.